Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels on a victory Monday. Packers beat down the Detroit Lions yesterday to the tune of 27-13, and it wasn't that close. Still feels pretty damn good. You can probably tell I'm in a great mood. That tape was fun to watch. The Packers as a team, a complete team victory over the Detroit Lions to start the 2025 season. Exciting times, man. It does kind of stink that we have a short turnaround and we got to get ready for the Commanders pretty much, starting today. You know, generally they have a little bit of time to enjoy it a little bit, watch the tape, get a workout in, blah, blah, blah. None of that going on at 12:65 today. They are right into Commanders prep. No availability today, so we have not heard from Matt LaFleur or the players. No news on any of the guys that got banged up in yesterday's game. We'll hear from LaFleur and company tomorrow for their one practice of the week, which will most likely, I would suspect, be a walkthrough. But LaFleur will address the media late afternoon on Tuesday. So no news yet on Zach Tom, etc. But looking at this game, it was a ton of fun. And if you get the chance, I highly recommend checking out my conversations with Andy and Let's Talk Football and Dara, looking at Jeff Hafley's approach in this game, which to me is everything we talked about at the end of last season and how they needed to improve. They most certainly did everything we had hoped in this first game. Now, it is one game, and it is a very particular type of offense and a very particular type of quarterback. But this front four, whoever the four might have been, down in and down out, they absolutely took the game to the Lions in a way we have not seen, certainly since Dan Campbell came into town, but certainly, most certainly, through the last four or five contests. This was excellent work up front, and the job they did constricting the pocket and keeping the pressure on Goff there, where so many times it was pretty clear that he's waiting for stuff to develop downfield, that he just runs out of time to be able to kind of make the throws that he wants, and he has to hit something in the flat, hit a check down underneath, because the pocket kept that. It wasn't a strict, like, you know, collapse every down, obviously, but the way the pocket was continuously pushed into him, that was a sight for sore eyes. I know you guys know, so much last year we talked about the inability to do exactly that with only four, and the way Jeff Hafley had to resort to sim pressure and really kind of manufacturing pressure off of, whether it's linebacker blitzing or corner blitzing, which we saw a few times yesterday, and even safety blitzes at times last season. This was almost, not quite exclusively, but almost always with the front four. And that is music to the secondary's ears. You saw a number of occasions where guys were quick to the ball, pass breakups, certainly saw the big play by Evan Williams, but there was way more than just that. That allows the secondary, with vision on the quarterback more often than not, to break on whatever throw is being made. Now, nothing's going to be perfect. Obviously, there's plenty to work on. But man, the way they came out of the gate firing on defense in this style, especially against that team, that is very promising. That is very exciting. It's hard to kind of contain your excitement when you're looking at guys winning one-on-ones, probably in ways we didn't see a ton of last season throughout the majority of the time. You know, Micah Parsons is going to get the headlines for good reasons. He was absolutely everything as advertised yesterday. But man, watching Rashawn Gary walk a tackle back into the quarterback's lap, or Lucas Van Ness absolutely abuse a guard into essentially what became a sack. Things like that get you excited for a team that is only starting out on this journey of how they're going to kind of fit Micah Parsons into their defensive scheme, their defensive kind of front. Man, there was so much good work done by guys, even when Parsons wasn't on the field. I mean, to me, the dagger of that whole game was the Devontae Wyatt sack. And he absolutely smokes the guy along the interior. Talk about quick pressure. Goff had absolutely no chance on that play. I'll tell you what, it was a sight for these old eyes. I was absolutely thrilled going back and watching this tape. And then on offense, clearly the story is going to be about, you know, going forward this week is going to be about the injuries. But just looking at the game itself, man, the way they were able to execute their game plan in pass protection was, I mean, just I'm not going to say flawless, but close to it. There was very little instance of Jordan Love being under duress at any point. Like, I think they had two quarterback hits on the day. And on one of those, Jordan Love delivered a dime to Jaden Reed that went through his arms. Jordan had a phenomenal game. And I know people were a bit miffed about the way the offense somewhat kind of downshifted in the second half. But when you've got a pretty significant commanding lead, that allowed them to, okay, yeah, we're going to run the ball. We're going to take some time off the clock. And then you can flip it around because you've got a multi-score lead. And you saw Halfley playing a lot of shell coverage, a lot of two high, sometimes cover three, and allowing the Lions to work underneath, but they have to take time off the clock to try and score. You're not allowing any quick strikes, which, of course, the Lions would love to do. I thought Matt called an excellent game on offense, even when they were struggling to run the ball. I thought he played the kind of situational stuff perfectly yesterday. Again, you gotta kind of hold your breath here on the injuries, though. I'll tell you what, the guys who stepped in, whether it was Jordan Morgan or the newly acquired Kennard there at tackle, I thought they held up surprisingly well. And there's little doubt that if they're called upon on Thursday night, you know, that this offense can at least is able to operate, which is all you really want. If you got backups in there, you don't want to have to, you know, change what you're trying to do because you have to hide them or try and mitigate how much they're going to be able to affect what you're doing pass blocking wise, etc. Both of those guys stepped in and I thought played pretty damn well. So like I said, we'll hopefully know more tomorrow. Maybe we get reporting overnight. Hell, may even happen this afternoon while I'm live, but just exciting times, man. Exciting times in Green Bay, Wisconsin, as they head into week two in what, 3 days? That's crazy. I'm not a big fan of the scheduling, but hey, you can only play the games that you are scheduled to play, and the Packers are scheduled on Thursday night. Can't wait to get another W against the Commanders. Hello, everybody in the comments section. So good to see you all. Hope you're all doing well. Everybody chiming in. Before we get going, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our friends at ThetaCare. They say defense wins championships. In life, ThetaCare is your first line of defense against illness and injury. Stay strong, stay healthy, stay in the game. Proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV, ThetaCare. Make sure you check out the link in the description of this video for more information or just hit up ThetaCare.org. If you want more information, hit them up, people. What's going on, folks? Got a bunch of super chats here already lined up. My goodness. Brett, thanks for starting us out, buddy. Hey, Nags, Chad and I made it to the game, and we want to thank you for reaching out to the NFL. It was great getting to meet you in person at the meetup. Thank you for everything you do. Safe travels back to New York. Brett, thank you so much. It was great to see you and Chad there. Love it when you guys come out. You guys came out in April for our event at the mall. You guys came out Saturday night. I'm glad you got to the game, and yes, I will be speaking to the NFL. It's disconcerting. Let's say it that way. I don't want to talk about it publicly, but certainly I think something can be done about it. But I'm glad you guys got to go to the game. I hope you really enjoyed it because, man, what a game to be at. Outstanding. Matt Burns, thanks for becoming a Care of the G Club member. Really appreciate the support, man. Thank you. Joe, thank you for being a Care of the G Club member. Seems to me the type of defense the Packers played only works if you tackle really well. Seeing Walker and Cooper play 100% of the snaps was awesome. Absolutely. You do have to tackle. Cooper had that one miss, the one whiff. I think it was on Gibbs in the on the left or defensive left side. Or no, it was Williams, sorry. And outside of that, yes, you're 100% right. Very sure across the board. But the other thing, and I'm glad you brought this up, yes, that style of defense works, rushing four, playing coverage. That's the dream, right? That's what you want to be able to do. But there were a number of times, particularly with Micah Parsons, where he beat Penei Sewell inside. Most likely Sewell, you know, respects his speed and is wants to protect something around the edge, right? So you go inside, and yes, on the interception, we all saw it, sped things up, and great play by Evan Williams. There's one, you know, thing to do that against a statue like Jared Goff. Thursday is a whole other world. And some of those inside moves could open up lanes for Daniels to take off and really hurt you. You know, we saw that at the end of the Chiefs-Chargers game. Chris Jones, one of the best in the business, took that inside track, and Herbert loops around for a big gain to salt the game away, right? Now, that's obviously a very dramatic example, but that is the danger when you're jumping inside like that. And again, against Goff, probably not going to hurt you. You know, probably not going to have to pay that price. But against Daniels, I think we'll see a return to a lot of what we saw the first couple weeks last year from Hafley, where guys are, you know, they're obviously rushing upfield, still trying to create havoc, but they're going to be a little bit more disciplined, especially trying not to get higher than the quarterback, try and keep them hemmed in, being really disciplined with their rush lanes. Yeah, it's a very different opponent and a very different quarterback coming in on Thursday. William, thanks for the super chat, man. Maybe I became an old head, but it feels like football went back to the 95 where it started feeling different. That was an old-fashioned ass-whooping. William, nothing wrong with being an old head, and you are right, sir. It has been a long, and I mean long time, since Lambeau felt intimidating. You know, where the Packers show up, it's a beautiful fall day, they're ready to kick your ass, and then they proceed to do so. Because that is what happened yesterday. And you're right. It does kind of feel like that run, definitely in 96. You know, those early season games at Lambeau? Man, what a year that was. But yes, very similar feel. And that's a big part of, I'm glad you brought that up, because I'll address this. I'm sure maybe someone talks about it in the chat at some point, but I've seen so much hand-wringing about the Lions fans in attendance. So much hand-wringing about the Lions fans at Lambeau. Which I understand, it's a disconcerting sight. We've talked about it a bunch here on transplants, etc. But look, this is the modern NFL. We talk about this all the time. Packers fans travel. Packers fans fill other stadiums. It sucks, but you know how you get it to stop? I know Matt had his little quip about, you know, the Packers fans who sold their seats, etc. I understand that. And it is disappointing, but it is a harsh reality of the modern NFL world. But there is a foolproof way. There is a tried and true, no matter what else happens in this world, way that you can get Lions fans to stop coming to Lambeau. And that's to have games like yesterday continuously every time they come to Lambeau. I'll tell you what, none of these Lions fans were coming for that 20-year stretch where they never won at Lambeau. You know when they started coming to Lambeau? When the Lions started kicking the Packers' ass. You put a couple of games like that together, you're not going to see many Lions fans wanting to go to Lambeau anymore. It's that simple. You know, look, I get it, man. It is awful to see so much Honolulu blue at Lambeau Field. Hell, somebody sent me a link, some Airbnb down the street here renting out to Lions. There was a whole infestation, a whole crowd of blue jerseys outside of one of these houses. Disgusting. I hate it. You know how you get it to stop? Make it uncomfortable. And I mean in a football sense. I'm not talking about being mean to these people. You know, Lambeau's still Lambeau. People are nice. People are still going to offer brats, beers, etc. And I talked to a Lions fan last night who said exactly that. This is his first Lambeau experience. And he was like, my God, these people are way too nice. And I said, it's true. But you know how you get them to stop coming to Lambeau? Keep kicking their ass on the football field. The Packers get back to doing that. You ain't going to see much blue going forward. I promise you that. Porkmaster, what's going on, man? We did a Freaky Friday with the Lions this game. All the pre-snap issues, bad execution, all happened to Detroit. They never felt truly in it. Man, I tell you what. It was such a breath of fresh air to not be that team. You know, we talked about it quite a bit this summer, certainly all last season. The number of times the Packers shot themselves in the foot, especially early against the divisional opponents, against the better teams in the NFC, to play a relatively clean game like they did and watch the other team make the mistakes. That's what I'm talking about. To take that opening kickoff, march down the field and score 7. Let's get back to that. I'm down with this idea, but you're 100% right. Like, the Packers were the team that played, I'm not going to say error-free, because of course there are mistakes. They played a relatively clean game, and that's got to be the standard week after week for this squad. Simatovich, what's going on, man? Trying not to overreact, but piss is red hot today. I don't blame you, man. I have no doubt it is. Andrew, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Hi, Aaron. I really enjoyed Motel Men on Saturday night. Thank you so much. And thank you to everybody who came out. Yeah, well, that was a surreal experience to be up there on stage with my childhood friend playing music in basically like the shadow of Lambeau Field, with a crowd of Packers fans dancing, singing, drinking, having a good time. That was incredible. Thank you, Andrew, for coming out. And thank you, everybody who came out. That was a ton of fun. Craig, thank you, man. You know what wasn't on display yesterday? Multiple drop passes. Cannot wait to go 2-0, but Daniels is scary. How do you see Halfley containing him? That is exactly what I was just talking about regarding the need to change in the approach when it comes to your pass rush, but certainly the discipline of your rush lanes, eyes on the quarterback at all times. You know, you didn't see a ton of man yesterday, and I don't think you'll see a ton of man against the Commanders on Thursday for that very reason, making sure you have all eyes on the QB as much as you can, right? Now, obviously, sometimes you mix match, whatever, you turn and run, your back sometimes is going to end up to the quarterback in coverage. But as much as they possibly can, their linebackers and safeties have to have eyes on the quarterback. It's going to be a big component to the approach on Thursday. Jace, thank you so much for the super chat. Hey, Nags, making the trip from Green Bay to Green Bay from Canada, arriving Wednesday afternoon. Aside from the stadium tour, any must-do things, great place for a beer. Thanks. We'll go to D2, where we just had our get-together. They have plenty of Carry the G now. Make sure you get some of that. As far as any must-dos, the stadium tour, all like you said, is a must. Hit up the Packers Hall of Fame. It's amazing. I always highly recommend the Heritage Trail, which is all around town, linking really important moments in Packers history as the team evolved throughout the last 100-plus years and what it meant in the city, with the city, where it actually happened, etc. That's just, for me, Packers geek, I love it. And as far as, like, you can't go wrong with most of the spots around the stadium. There's a new rooftop bar over at the Legacy Hotel that you should check out. It's got a great view of, you know, pretty much everything here on the Lambeau side. It's relatively new, so I always want to give them a shout out. But like I said, there, most of the spots around the stadium, you're good to go. You're going to find a good drink, no doubt. Ryan, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Great game to see in person. Crowd was electric. Refs gifted the Lions that garbage time TD. I mean, sometimes you just got to tip your cap, man. That was an amazing play by the rookie receiver. I mean, I got no problem with it. Like I said, game was over at that point, whether they got that touchdown or not. So I have no issue, you know, tipping the cap and saying that was an incredible play by the young man. But I'm glad you got to go. Always good to have some Eeyores in attendance to keep things real at Lambeau. Thanks, buddy. Ed, how you doing, man? Thanks for the super chat. Nice. Just fucking nice. That's the way to start a season. God, you know, it is nice. You're right. Yesterday was nice. Today is nice. You know what? Ed? You're not wrong. Steve, thanks again, man. Cheers, Nags. What a victory Monday. I met face paint Dylan with a Cheesehead TV tattoo at the game and then met Pro Shop Andrew earlier today. Go Pack Go. All these guys, all these Cheesehead TV affiliates, as it were. Yeah, man. I'll tell you what, Dylan is such a good dude. Met him and his wife, I believe on, what was it, Saturday night, and then got to see him Sunday morning. And shout out to their daughter. Hope you're doing well, dear. Always appreciate you guys watching. I'm sure mom and dad are back home now, and you guys can watch together. A lot of fun. Anonymous man, what's going on, man? Did Kirby Joseph play? Dude was invisible. I mean, he played, but like you said, didn't really exactly fill up the stat sheet. And some of that's by design, right? You got a guy of that caliber. You don't want to test him. You don't want to go at him. But I thought, you know, for the most part, the Packers did a good job neutralizing him and not giving him an opportunity. You know, I think some of that might be, you know, the approach that the Lions took. It's definitely changed in the second half. But, you know, when you're playing as much kind of deep coverage, trying to take away stuff deep and some of the more longer developing routes, et cetera, and, you know, you settling for stuff underneath, run game, et cetera, you're probably not going to be as involved as a safety, right? But, yeah, he was pretty quiet. pretty quiet yesterday, both in his play and his words. Ayahuasca, what's going on, man? The hype we're getting after the Parsons trade feels almost weird, but starting to embrace it. As far as the game, the speed of this defense, crazy, and have seemed to maintain physicality. That was sweet. That was the thing that really jumped off the screen, right? As far as their ability sideline to sideline to cover every blade of grass. I mean, there were so many times where Goff got the ball to someone in the flat. Usually, you know, oftentimes it was Gibbs, but whoever, receiver, what have you. Man, there was like a welcome wagon almost every time. A cascading kind of river of Packers jerseys just arriving to make sure that he had nowhere to go. And the sideline to sideline ability of the two backers, both Edgerrin Cooper and Quay Walker. Yes, that Quay Walker, the one that some of you have been very unkind to online. He played a fucking amazing game yesterday. He was outstanding. And the two of them together, cooking with gas. Very exciting. Porkmaster, thanks again, man. You can headbutt an opponent if they taunt first. I talked about that after the game. I'm not going to belabor it, but yeah, it's absurd, right? No, absolutely not. McKinney should not be standing over him. But that's not the invitation to headbutt the dude, right? I wouldn't think. I would suspect the NFL would frown upon that. But apparently, not in this instance. Soder, how you doing, man? When the watch party devolves to corn talk, you know things are going well. Can't wait for the tomato talk on Thursday. Man, Corey was on one there in the second half. Holy cow. I learned more about corn in that conversation during the second half of that game rather than I've ever contemplated corn, really. I mean, certainly eaten a lot of it, but certainly have never thought about corn or heard someone talk about corn as much as I heard Corey talk about corn during the watch party. You're not wrong. Sean, thank you so much for the super chat. I'm watching on my flight home to Glasgow from the game. I can't thank Packers fans enough for their hospitality, especially Minnesotan Packer for introducing me to Carry the G. The energy was palpable. This year feels special. It does feel special, doesn't it? And I know you were not the only kind of international in attendance. I talked to so many people from all over the globe, both Saturday night and on Sunday. Just a fabulous time. And you're right, man. The way that kind of the hype has cascaded from, you know, preseason, okay, I think this team could be good, we don't know. And then the Parsons trade happens and it just put everything on warp drive, right? But even then you're like, okay, very exciting, but will the games actually start? Will it be more of the same? Feels very different. Feels very, very different. Tucker, thanks for the super chat, man. Ultimate hate watch tonight. What are you hoping? Oh, definitely pulling for the tie. No doubt about it. I'll tell you what, that Soldier Field grass, such as it is, looks horrific. I know they've had a couple of concerts recently, but man, it is just a damn shame that any NFL player has to play on that surface. It is atrocious. I mean, it's a terrible stadium all over. They ruined it when they tried to update it but keep the columns and the old history stuff. And I love that idea, but the execution was terrible. And now they still have, you know, the city parks folks in charge of it. And it's awful. So I honestly just hope everyone's safe on that field. But yeah, it'll be fun to watch. It'll be great. The problem is like, any positive that you get from, say, okay, the Bears sack J.J. McCarthy or McCarthy throws an interception. Well, okay, great. That's awesome. I celebrate that as a Packers fan about the intercept. But then that's a good thing for the Bears. You know what I mean? Like, it's a bit conflicting. I just hope both teams look unprepared, horrible out of the gate. It's like 17-10 or 17-13 at the end. I don't care who wins. Like I said, hoping for a tie, but that's unlikely. But I'll be watching every second of it. Don't you worry about it. Marshall Duke, how you doing, man? The early bye was looked at as detrimental, but now a blessing. Micah can heal up some and get more acclimated to the playbook. I mean, it's not just the Micah thing either. I say this every year. Every year. Doesn't matter what the bye, yes. Would you prefer it smack dab in the middle? Absolutely. But wherever the buy comes, whenever it arrives, people ultimately say exactly what you're saying. And this is no shot at you, Marshall, but like, oh, it's coming at a good time, actually. Yeah, because these dudes are so banged up the moment they play football. Injuries happen every week. Every week you get off is a chance for guys to rest and recuperate and regenerate and get ready to get back out there a week away. You know, it's I get people want it at a certain spot. There's a preference. I understand that. But the bye arrives at a good time every year because every year somebody's banged up. Many people are banged up. I don't hate it. But to your point, yes, it does give Parsons a chance to kind of fully integrate into the defense, which I'm sure, you know, that's the main thing that they'll be working on over the course of the next couple games. They've certainly kind of showed that they're fine putting them there out there in obvious passing situations, but they did put him in there a couple of early downs, you know, throughout the second half. And then you get through this first kind of four game stretch. And then, yeah, you hope that he's got a good handle on the playbook and what they're asking of him situationally, where he fits in certain, you know, games and things like that. And then you let him loose off that bye. That would be outstanding. Porkmaster, what's up, man? One division win, already tied with last year. Vibing. That's why it felt so kind of pressure-filled, right, heading into week one. It's only one game. It is the start of the season. There's a long way to go. But, man, the way they just threw games away against the division last year really felt like they needed to come out and, you know, grab one early. And they most certainly did. Samuel, thank you for the super chat. Thank you for being a long-time listener, but a first-time super chatter. If Goody can open the checkbook, so can I. Burn the boats. Regarding Parsons, feels like it's been a long time since we had a when, not if, player on defense. Tick, tick. You are 100% spot on. And that's no shade to anybody who's played for the Packers in recent vintage, right? But, man, it's different. And this is what I talked about when the news happened and that whole kind of week after. He changes everything on the defensive side of the ball. He changes the calculus, both for the defense and for the offense. What they're doing as far as protections and responsibilities and what it allows other guys to do and opportunities it gives them and what Halfley is able to do on the back end because he doesn't have to worry about ginning up pressure. Changes everything because he is exactly that, Samuel. He is a guy who's coming and he's going to get there. And you can set your watch by it. You can't stop him. It's the old, I think it was Stuart Scott used to say it. You can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him. That's Micah Parsons. Joe, what's up, man? Make a play and walk away has to be the way to go. Yeah, you would hope. I get it. It's an emotional game, though. And sometimes these guys get caught up in their emotions. It's hard for me to kill them for it. But I think the more you can do exactly that, the better off you're going to be. Brandy, thank you so much for everything. Thanks for not fucking it up, Halfley. Keep this up, and you might get a Christmas card. Man, Halfley winning over Brandy has got to be the narrative of the year. No doubt about it. Quinn, thank you so much. D swarming to the ball all game. I loved it. Yes, how many times did you see a sea of jerseys, green jerseys, arriving in tandem to take down the ball carrier? I mean, it was down in, down out, flying to the football. And I know Matt's talked about that so many times during his time in Green Bay about what he's looking for on the defensive side of the ball. That was exactly it on Sunday, no doubt. Ryback, thank you for the super chat, sir. Good to see the Pack start up fast and high energy. In the last few years, the slow start. When Hobbs came back, DBs will be even better. Hats off to that Kraft TD. Oh, that Kraft. I mean, you're not wrong, man. They got off to a hot start, and they did bring the energy, and certainly not anything resembling the slow starts we've seen them have, you know, years prior. That Kraft TD, man, what a dime from Jordan, and what a great catch by Tucker Kraft. Just an outstanding play. Dennis, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Tyler Dunn, three-part article, House of Dysfunction, just came out. It's a lengthy read, but it might open your mind to what's going on in Chicago. Oh, I've read it. Yeah, Tyler always gives me a heads up when he's doing anything involving the NFC North. Yeah, I read it. And I got to say, it's funny you bring that up because I always take most of that kind of thing with a grain of salt. And that's not a shot at Ty. He's doing really good work, right? He's talking to people who are in the building. So I respect that. He's doing his job, right? But it was funny because when we were setting up for Motelman on Saturday night, Kyle Long walked by. And I've known Kyle now for a number of years. And we started chatting about, because, you know, you just start talking about the season and whatever. And I mentioned that article. And he said, you know, he had tweeted about it. And he was saying how cowardly it was for people who were out of the building, you know, who had been let go, to then turn around and, you know, run to a reporter, etc. You know, I understand that viewpoint, right? And look, I get it. I do not doubt whether smoke, there's probably a little fire. And I'm sure Williams has been less than maybe what they had hoped for, and that their GM was pushing to, you know, shoehorn that selection a little bit, or a lot, apparently. But look, man, the NFL is insane, and it's hard. And anybody who's been in the league knows, you know, you all get fired at some point, you know, and then to turn around in what feels like a concerted effort, though, you know, I'm sure they didn't reach out to Ty. Yeah, it is a bit cowardly. I get where Kyle's coming from on that one. Soder, what's up, man? Red Zones D was completely different animal, a completely different animal. I mean, they played so much coverage. Hell, they had a successful three-man rush. And I just talked about this with Andy. What's so interesting about that three-man rush success where they had to settle for the field goal was Micah Parsons is double-teamed, and the other two rushers aren't really going anywhere. Goff speeds up, you know, his head clock on his own because he's seen Parsons out there before, you know, is already in his head as far as I got to get rid of the ball. He's got ages. He's got acres of space out to his left. He can continue running and searching if he wants, or he can take off, try and pick up the first down. There's plenty of space for him to do so. But because Parsons had already gotten in his head, had already shown how fast he can win, he rushes a throw to the tight end, incomplete, off the field, kick the field goal. This is what I mean when he changes everything. I mean, it's there on tape. Go look at it. But yeah, that was part of the red zone defense. They played a lot of coverage, didn't really commit numbers to the pass rush, and it was pretty damn successful overall. This fucking guy. Thanks, buddy. Did the Cowboys win the trade yet? I don't know. We'll have to ask Jerry. I'm sure he's probably still maintaining. Brian, hello. Thanks for Super Chat. Is Lloyd on IR? I believe he is. And he started the season as such, if I remember right. God, that feels like a million years ago. I know the Packers just picked up a new running back and let go of Israel, which is unfortunate because he had a good preseason. But I doubt this move had much to do with Lloyd's status. I think that's mostly just the Packers improving the floor of the room talent-wise. You're always churning the bottom of the roster. It's something Ron Wolf used to do each and every week. Certainly we've seen Brian is no stranger to it, and I think that's what this is, more so than a response to anything on the roster above, so to speak. All right, buddy, I'm gonna have to get going. Cannot thank you enough. Hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. You know, I don't do a good job of this, but please hit subscribe. Like, it means everything for you guys to hit subscribe. Like, I know a lot of you are here every single day, and you're like, oh, why should I? I know when they're on. I don't need to subscribe. But it just helps us. It helps the channel. It helps the brand. Hit subscribe, please. And thank you. All right, everybody. I got to get going. There will not be a Packers Daily tomorrow because I will be traveling back to New York City. But there will be a happy hour. So if you are a Care of the G Club member here on YouTube or a Patreon member, be sure to check your respective pages. The information is there for you to do so. Happy hour tomorrow night. Packer transplants Wednesday. And then we got the Commanders on Thursday right there in Lambeau Field. Time flies, man. Can't believe it. We're here, we're 1-0, and we're going to Santa Clara to win the Super Bowl. Let's do it. Thanks, everybody. Have a great night. Go, Pack, go.